This is The Guardian.
Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal Land with the full story. The uproar was virtually unprecedented.
Not sell the soul of football.
Now, those plans have been scrapped and apologies made. But football's governance still remains in crisis, and the future for FIFA's president is anything but certain. Today, sport reporter Jack Snape on whether this is the final whistle for Gianni Infantino. It's Tuesday, the 11th of August. Hi, Jack. Welcome back to Full Story.
Hi, Regid. Nice to be here.
Before we get into this new plan that Gianni Infantino sprung onto the world stage, Infantino himself, he is really quite a character, isn't he? There's a bit of history there.
He's a very distinctive character in world football. Not only the way he presents himself, very strong look. A proud, bald man who often likes to wear white sneakers and suits. But he is prolific on social media and he's a real performer when it comes to football.
And he was brought in as the cleanup candidate, wasn't he, after the controversy with Sepp Blatter?
Yeah, way back in 2015, FIFA was struck by maybe its biggest crisis. Sepp Blatter, the former president, resigning. And Gianni Infantino, he wasn't really even going to put himself up for the presidency, but the favourite, Michel Platini, a former French player, was actually taken out of the running because he was subject to another investigation. So here emerged was Gianni Infantino, the football executive, not a huge public profile, but he came into that election promising to clean up FIFA, and he's been in charge since.
Ah, okay. So explain to us then, for those of us who don't know football, what exactly Infantino planned to do that caused this huge global outrage?
They call it the FIFA Forward Enterprise, and we should note that the proposal has now been taken off the table due to the backlash, but this was the trigger point for this huge outcry or backlash against Infantino's presidency. It was a financial mechanism to create a new entity within FIFA that would receive all the sponsorship dollars around the World Cup, all the commercial revenues. That would be the entity that made money within FIFA. And it was said this entity would be valued at about $20 billion, and Infantino would like to sell about $4 billion of it to private investors. And there are a few question marks there because the proposal was developed in secret. It wasn't shared within FIFA. It came as a surprise at the very end of the World Cup.
So that was part of the upset, right, that people didn't really know about it.
Exactly. It required the members of FIFA. FIFA has 211 countries within it. It's bigger than the United Nations, they traditionally say. And it required these countries to give a response to the proposal in a very short time frame, less than 2 months. And it also promised those that did support the program, they would get a one-off payment of $20 million US plus increased annual funding. I think a lot of people looked at it and thought, oh, wow, this is a plot that's been engineered behind the scenes by Infantino. It's also one that on the finance side was driven by the brother of Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. His name's Josh Kushner. And so there was a lot of speculation that Infantino had been working behind the scenes to develop this for his own ends.
So much of Gianni Infantino and what we know about him is linked to the idea of Trump and that close relationship with Donald Trump. So how much of the upset around this plan, I know it's been withdrawn, but how much of the upset was to do with that close relationship and the awkwardness of how people might have felt about it in the football world?
Yeah, Gianni's best mate, old Don, we saw on stage following the World Cup victory by Spain, Donald Trump, very prominent. In fact, Gianni, I think, tried to urge him off the stage, but he was there in all the photos for Spain celebrations. And that was a symbolic photo because it highlighted the deep connection between Trump and Infantino over the last few years ahead of these preparations for this World Cup. FIFA created a new award, the FIFA Peace Prize, and gave it to Donald Trump.
Prize, this is your Peace Prize. There is also a beautiful medal for you that you can wear everywhere you want to go.
Even after all these questionable diplomatic decisions that Donald Trump has taken in the last few years.
One of the great honors of my life. And beyond awards, Johnny and I were discussing this, we saved millions and millions of lives.
Not only that, but throughout the World Cup, he's been clearly close to Infantino. Indeed, after a red card for a United States player during the tournament, Flo Balogun, Donald Trump made a call to Infantino and boasted that he was able to get that card rescinded so that the player himself could play the following match.
I'm good at this stuff. I didn't think it was a foul. I thought it was two great athletes that crashed into each other and got entangled.
The United States didn't win that match, but it was clear that Donald Trump has this relationship, deep, close, personal relationship with Infantino. And so when this proposal was put forward with links to Donald Trump's son-in-law's brother, who was apparently engineering the financial side of it, it would have put half the world's football executives, you know, in a very uncomfortable position, particularly in Europe, where Trump is obviously a very controversial figure right now. They would have thought this is a straw that broke the camel's back and Infantino cannot be allowed to continue along this path. And that has triggered the backlash. Whether or not it would have happened if there wasn't these Trump links, that's hard to say. You know, it may have led to his own increase in pay. It would have also delivered more funding for some of the smaller nations around FIFA that Infantino is reliant on for maintaining his power within the organisation.
Coming up next, can Gianni Infantino survive? Jack, what reasons did Infantino give? How did he defend this plan in amongst all the controversy and say, look, this was important?
Infantino has a really strong record since coming in of developing the commercial side of the World Cup. The 2018 World Cup in Russia brought in about $5 billion in revenue. The one in Qatar in 2022 delivered about $8 billion in revenue. This one in North America this year delivered about $15 billion. So he's almost trebled the financial power of the World Cup in just 8-9 years since he's been in charge.
He's good at generating profit, basically.
Exactly. And if you're part of the, as they say, the football family, it means that if you're head of a nation, it might be in Vanuatu, for example. In 2022, they received a grant of $4 million to help build their national stadium. That was a huge grant for Vanuatu, a very small nation. And if they were then to receive $20 million in a one-off payment by supporting this proposal, as well as increased annual funding, you can clearly see that they would want to keep Infantino in as president because he's seen as ensuring that these smaller nations have, you know, untold resources when it comes to football administration.
So UEFA is the European groups. You're saying those are the ones that are still unhappy with it. What does that mean in terms of Infantino's survival? Because as you said, FIFA has scrapped the proposal. He's apologised. So why are some people still saying that's not enough and we're not going to let this go?
The best way to describe the deep resentment towards Infantino at the moment is in the comments of the Norwegian Football Association president, Lisa Klaveness. She's called for Infantino to resign immediately based on a lack of trust in his leadership for those within football. And obviously this reflects the sentiment within UEFA specifically. Lisa is a very prominent, outspoken member within the football political community. And it's not surprising that it's come from that voice, particularly because this broadly reflects UEFA's frustrations with Infantino, a tendency maybe towards these commercial activities that compromise the purity of the sport. And people play it all around the world, the most popular sport, the most popular athletic pastime, you would say, and to try to sell it off, even if it is a bit of a financial mechanism, to sell off part of it goes to the very heart of football. And they feel like they are stewards of the game in Norway, in Europe as well, and they are deeply, deeply offended by those kinds of privatization efforts led by Infantino.
So it's still very much the world of football in crisis at the moment.
The last few weeks have shown, no doubt, that football is in crisis, but it has also amplified the tensions that exist within football right now. You know, this is, real football democracy playing out outside, the FIFA Congress and the votes played there. We're talking about boycotts. We're talking about protest here. The question around this whole saga, though, is does it actually affect those of us in Australia, those people who play football, the people who maybe are parents to young players? The reality is Football Australia, the governing body here, is facing financial strain. They've put up roughly $20 million in losses the last couple of years. They've had to increase registration fees for young players and seniors in the last year. The registration fees come on top of fees that clubs and the state associations are putting on them, let alone boots and things like that. If they're having to put up those fees at the same time that FIFA is delivering record World Cup revenues, something's amiss. And it's that gap between huge top-level profits and parents having to pay more each year for their kids, and what Infantino needs to do to show that the money he's raising is being spent appropriately, and ultimately we get good outcomes for young footballers in Australia.
Just finally then, where is this going to end up, do you think? Will it eventually all just drift away?
UEFA have threatened boycotting FIFA tournaments, which is an absolutely extraordinary step. You know, to imagine a World Cup without the likes of Germany, without the likes of England, you know, these huge nations, to win a World Cup that European nations chose not to participate in, it's not really a World Cup at all. The next Men's World Cup is in 2030. I think it's fair to say it's very unlikely for European nations to boycott that one. But there is the Women's World Cup next year, in middle of the year. That will also come after these presidential elections, which it's almost certain that all this manoeuvring will reach its climax and will have some sort of outcome, whether or not the FIFA is unified behind a new president. Before then, though, there is a under-20 Women's World Cup in Poland just next month, with six European nations competing. And so this will be a real test for UEFA and their stand now, which is maintaining they will boycott tournaments unless there is leadership change. And so those nations, whether or not they attend that tournament, it'll be a real test for UEFA and whether or not they stick their guns.
It always comes down to the redistribution of profit every time. Jack, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Bridget, absolute pleasure.
That was sport reporter Jack Snape. This episode was produced by Shane Anderson and Lou Hill, who also did the sound design and mixing. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also leave a review. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.